The Law Commission has been asked to recommend changes to our inheritance laws, and it wants your opinions on what changes. Who should be entitled to a share of property despite what someone says in a will? Who should be allowed to benefit when a person dies without a will? Many more aspects besides. And we'll cover some of them off. Joining us is Law Commissioner and former Chapman Tripp partner Helen McQueen. Good morning, Helen.
Morena, Jim.
Morena. Adults snubbed by parents' wills may lose the right to contest them. That's what jumps out at media, of course. You're calling for submissions on that and other matters we'll get to. So this point first, a possible end to squabbles among adult siblings. Helen, why?
Well, we think that the law in this area needs to be reviewed because we're not sure it's actually consistent with New Zealanders' attitudes. The law in this area is very old. And this is a great opportunity to ask afresh what New Zealanders think about it. So our concern about adult children being able to make claims against their parents' estate when their parent dies and their parent has left a will is that it's incredibly difficult and a big ask for a court to make a decision about what would be appropriate for that adult child to receive from the parent. So this is an incredibly subjective, value-laden area. And what is interesting to know is that most of the claims that we see coming through the courts are from adult children, not children who are in need, but children often who are financially secure and are looking for some kind of recognition of their family status.
Yeah, judges have trouble with these cases. Yes, accounts, as you say, in court are subjective, and justice is difficult to arrive at sometimes.
It really is, and I think it's a big ask that we expect from our judges. I should point out, Jim, that the vast majority of parents leave their wealth to their children, and generally in a reasonably even way, or certainly a way that the children are happy with. So what we're talking about is claims at the margins here, and we're not convinced that this is a good use of judicial resources. And perhaps most importantly, we're concerned about the toll that these kind of claims take on families. To make a claim like this, you have to attack what your parent has done, and you have to attack the reason whether it's justified that the other beneficiaries to the will should get what they've been given. So as you can see, it has the potential to cause incredible hurt and upset with the family.
So children, for example, should have the right to protect themselves against disinheritance only while they're young, and after that we're old enough to have created our own lives for ourselves, or we should be.
Look, I think that's right. What we're suggesting is that it would be appropriate for a surviving partner and for younger children to have a claim against the estate. And probably the key point about this is that that matches what the obligations in a lifetime are. So a parent has an obligation to look after their young children, and they also have an obligation to look after a surviving partner. So we're really asking, why should the law be different on death than it is during the lifetime? And we're suggesting three options for the age of children that should be eligible to claim. So 18, 20 or 25. And, you know, we all know you can go out and buy your liquor when you're 18, you can get married, you can vote. But actually these days, I think we'd probably all agree that it takes longer for children to grow up. We only need to think about the housing market. We also think about the increasing age at which people get married, enter committed relationships. So that's why we've included options of 20 and 25 as well.
Before I leave that particular topic, it's never easy, is it? I mean, on the other hand, I can conjure up an example where an adult child falls on hard times because of the cruel way she was treated by the deceased when young, and resulting trauma has impaired her ability to succeed financially. You can't achieve complete justice here, presumably, Helen.
No, you can't. And it's interesting you raise that, Jim, because there's actually a case at the moment going through the courts which does make a claim of that nature, suggesting that the parent harmed the child. And there is, you know, law other than the law we're looking at which can address questions like that. So, you know, the law of equity, there might be an issue there. We don't know. We're going to be really interested to see the outcome of that case. But generally speaking, we think that the very small number of cases when something like that occurs are just not a reason to make law in this area. The other point I'd make is that when you have this ability to make this kind of claim, it actually creates great uncertainty, and it means that people can't be sure that what they're putting in their will last, and it also makes it very difficult for lawyers to give good advice.
Your position on this is supported by a recent Otago University survey on succession law, I think.
Yes, it is. And that survey, which was funded by the Michael and Suzanne Boren Foundation, found really high public support for testamentary freedom. So 80% of respondents either agreed or strongly agreed that a person should be allowed to leave family members out of the will. So that's really significant. The survey did go on to set up some particular scenarios, and it was really clear from the feedback on those scenarios that young children should, but New Zealanders felt that young children should be supported. And another aspect that was really interesting was that even the degree of support for adult children to be able to make a claim, which dropped down to about 56%, I think, barely changed when the situation was put that a child was in financial need. So I think that really reinforces the idea that the underlying concern here is about recognition of family relationships. But the question still remains at large at whether if you have to take a legal claim in the courts, you're really going to fix the relationship. We don't think you are. We think that families will be left with great hurt as a result of this.
Helen McQueen is with us, 25 past 7. Testamentary freedom, to use your phrase broadly, should a person be able to dispose of their worldly goods in any way they wish? We know this is complicated, but most people, I imagine, possibly want to retain that essential right for themselves.
I think that message is really clear. And of course, the big in principle question here is balancing that with what we all think about obligations to our family or whānau. So that's absolutely the tricky question, is getting that right. But as I say, we think that as occurs during lifetime, a deceased certainly has obligations to their surviving partner and to their younger children. But, you know, we don't expect a 90-year-old mother to be supporting their 60-year-old son. No. The state takes care of that, and the question is, why would that change on death?
Not everything you own becomes available to others when you die, and should the law allow for property to be clawed back into the estate to meet obligations? I suppose you would need evidence of deliberate use of a trust or whatever, Helen, that was designed to stymie claims against an estate.
Well, I think that would be one category. So the question here, I think, is that if you have entitlements under the law or you're able to make a claim, there's really only a point in being able to do that if there's something then to meet that claim. You know, there's not really any point having a court saying, yes, you know, this is outrageous and you should get X and Y, if X and Y actually isn't available. So at the moment, we only have a very limited ability to claw back property into an estate, and that power only exists in the context of sorting out relationship property. So it's only a power that a surviving partner can have, or the estate can say, hey, you shouldn't get more than half, and we want that remaining half to be available. But there is definitely a question here about whether the powers should be increased. So one option would be, as you say, the intention to defeat. And what you could also do is set a time frame that's not uncommon around the world. So you might say that any transaction in the 5 years before death was open to be clawed back. And then finally, one way of owning property, which is joint ownership. So that would be, you know, the vast majority of couples in New Zealand probably own their house as joint tenants. And there is a legal rule called survivorship, which means that if one of those joint tenants dies, the other one automatically becomes the owner of the whole. So that would be three categories of situations where you might say it would be appropriate to pull property or wealth back into the estate to meet the claims. And we've raised that option in our consultation paper. Some countries have attempted a much bigger exercise of really saying that pretty much everything is available to be clawed back. And the problem with that is that, of course, then you're going to have huge amount of litigation over that question about what should come back.
You're asking a number of interesting questions and people's opinions on them on your website before the 10th of June. The Law Commission website. And just a quick one, there are issues around the current laws that contributors may use to claim against an estate, because here we have a lot of, he promised me I could stay living on the cottage on the farm forever, or yes, it was her house that she let me live in, but I did so much work on it, it's worth 200k more now. All that sort of territory too.
Yeah, that's right. And we have lots of existing law in that area. We have lots of ways in which claims like that can be made, as you've said, talking about it as a promise, or someone might just have led someone to believe by their actions and their words that the person would be entitled to something on the death of the other person. So the law in this area, we think, is too complicated, and there are too many ways you can make the claim. So we're suggesting just having one new claim we've called a contribution claim, to make the law more simple and more accessible. And I think the point also I'd make there, Jim, is that this is important given the changes in New Zealand and the increasing number of older people and our increasing life expectancy. And I think a classic situation that we are seeing now and we'll see more in the future is where older people need care to stay in their home, and I think we'll see these kinds of contribution claims in that context.
Lovely. And lovely of you to come in and talk to us about it this morning. Thank you. That's Law Commissioner Helen McQueen.